May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, I tried to explain to Mother Abby that I don't really remember a Damascus moment on the road to Damascus, a kind of sudden revelation of the word. She assured me that not all people do. Some people just grow up around the church. They're included, encouraged, and soon enough, it just becomes a part of who they are. She, Ben Bowersock, said that. Martin Proctor and I will tell you we're examples of just such as that. My parents divorced when I was 4, back then when it really wasn't done all that much. But don't say, oh dear, oh dear. They should have written a book about it, a how-to. No muss, no fuss. I was to live with my mother, then 2 weeks in the summer, and every Sunday with my granny, Miss Fanny. She took one, I mean, every with my daddy, and my granny, Miss Fanny, took one look at that and offered to help. That's how I got my start in the Methodist Church. Every Sunday, church and Sunday school, then Vacation Bible School, then MYF, Methodist Youth Foundation, the works. It was good stuff. At some point early on, we were standing in the vestibule? Yes, at the church where there was a portrait of Jesus. My granny, Miss Fanny, asked me if I knew who that was, and I said, well, yes, that's Jesus. So she explained that back when he lived, there were no cameras. And so that meant this was just a painting of what somebody thought he looked like. And I looked up at it, and I was about this big, and I said, huh, well, it sure looks like him. Apparently, I was on a first-name basis with this whole thing. When I turned 13, I could choose church, Trinity or St. John's, my mother's people. She described how fabulous EYC was. My friends here, I could get a little cross and crown pin every year for Sunday school. I could be confirmed, and I could sing in the youth choir, and they wore vestments and processed. Sold. Let's just say, after my years here, college was not my shining moment. Ruggie Hall occasionally. But you remember that saying in the dorm? Let's don't say we did. But my raisin got me through. Dean and I met in Atlanta. Fell in love. And after that, we were engaged in very convincing premarital counseling at St. Philip's Cathedral. We got the real story. We were married at St. John's. We lived for a while in Atlanta, went to various Episcopal churches out in the burbs. But I began to realize that going to church was not the same as belonging. We soon moved to Albany, and by then we had a baby girl. So I suggested that it was probably high time for us to get on down to the church. St. Paul's, here we came. What a God wink. The young rector, Gedge Gale, had the most inviting demeanor. Met people right where they were. Engaged them immediately. Gedge suggested that Dean join the upcoming confirmation class. And during the discernment chats, they realized that Dean had never been baptized because his mother was a devout Christian Scientist and they don't baptize. Gedge said, not to worry, not, I got this. So Dean was baptized at the 9 o'clock with the little tiny children, and he was confirmed at 11. I'm not sure it was signed by the bishop, but nobody asked. Pretty soon, we moved to Tallahassee, where all my people are. Keeping in mind, I'm part of blended families, and I just counted again. I'm an only child with 7 siblings. But anyway, it's hard to keep up with. So you can imagine how many people I'm connected to here in town, a little bit or a lot. One of these was my stepmother, who provided a prayer life for all of us. When Daddy died suddenly, it was her faith, her voice, her words that brought his grace to the moment. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and she could bring it. I still remember that peace, that quiet. By now, you have surmised that my spirituality is not based on one instance, but is closely related to so many experiences and to the people in my life who have helped provide a path to his great goodness. And that is so. We established our own family right here at St. John's, raising our girls here. Through the years, we've been involved in many of the same activities that you are. Dean and I were both on the vestry. He had to be junior warden. I did not. So Sarah and Kate were involved here at church, each in their own way. Kate and her friends, Nan O'Kelly, all those people, loved to be right in the middle of everything. Sarah, mostly, not so much. She's here. So I'm not scared. Later, we looked up, and there Sarah was, a young adult, teaching Sunday school, then volunteering for every event. The market was made for Sarah. And then she was elected to the vestry. What just happened? Here's what I learned from that. The Holy Spirit is very patient. I'll finish with 2 last examples of living right smack in the middle of the Holy Spirit. The first one is known as the split, which is not the story. The real story is the next day, the next weeks, when folks just showed up. They wanted to be here. They wanted to help. They wanted to be together. They wanted to make it okay. We caught our collective breath and realized we got this with God's help. Yikes. Think of all the things you were here, many of you, that needed to be tended to. Praying for God's grace, services, money, front office. Who's going to do Sunday school? Who's going to do flowers? Maintenance, communication, music. The cafe, well, we know who got that. Working with the diocese to maybe get an interim in here pretty quick. Everyone who walked through the doors brought talent and love and elbow grease. Now, most recently, we undertook a big renovation. Who, I ask you, goes through a giant project without falling all apart? We do. We had extensive plans roughed out. It was really a wish list. It's pretty long and big. Much of it, which had to be postponed until we lovingly referred to as phase 2, meaning we couldn't afford it. Of course, some people were disappointed, especially if their favorite project couldn't be included. But grace prevailed as we proceeded. The resulting plan from the building committee was openly and clearly presented by Chairman Charlie Redding, who took his time to answer questions and to explain every single detail. because he was down here almost every single day. Our renovation financial goal had been established, and because we felt confident in the plan, our pledges exceeded the goal. How do we do that? Well, when Doug Sessions asked us to pledge, we did. It's not complicated. Now we have beautiful, necessary, useful renovations, and importantly, we have our great good spirit and camaraderie intact. Today, we are looking forward to welcoming a new rector. This might be a good time for all of us to think about what we have collectively and individually to offer the new rector. Having said all this, and I have cut this way down, ask Sarah. She helped me with that. I'll circle back and just say, my granny, Miss Fanny, often said when she went into Trinity, you can find his grace in God's house. Well, I didn't know what that meant. But now I do. Amen.